Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
I don't know about you, but I am a chocolate lover. And if you like the kind of chocolates I like, they come in a beautiful red box and in round lint balls. But essentially, if you've been monitoring the price of any kind of chocolate or chocolate item that you might enjoy, you would have noticed that the prices have shot up significantly. And this is reflective of the ingredients, the input costs that essentially go into making these products, largely dominated by cocoa, which is fundamental to the creation and production of chocolate. Overall, the cocoa price as a commodity has also seen significant movements in this particular regard. And we're going to take a look at where these shifts are occurring, especially given the sharp fall and decline we've actually seen in the cocoa price. What does this mean? How does it affect us as consumers? But what does it also mean for traders of commodities like cocoa? Aroni Chaudhuri, Chief Africa Economist at Coface, joins us now to tell us more. Aroni, such a warm welcome to Kaya Biz, and thank you for making time. This is a conversation and a theme that really intrigues me, because I do think before we look at the pricing, we need to look at the underlying drivers of the cocoa price. And for the large majority of time, it's been a fundamental basis of supply and demand. Talk us through markets like Côte d'Ivoire and other cocoa producers who have experienced some shifts in climate and how that's also affected production.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for having me. So what we're seeing right now, which is, you know, a large decrease in cocoa prices, is actually the deflating of a speculative bubble. So the reason why the prices surged as they did in 2024 was because initially there was a production drop in Côte d'Ivoire and Ghana due to unfavorable weather condition as well as crop diseases. And so this production drop caused fear among grinders and chocolate processors, which then led to very intense speculation, and that actually fueled the price surge that we saw. So now, in late 2025, now that the forecasts that are harvest in Côte d'Ivoire and in Ghana are more optimistic, and that overall there is a little less uncertainty over production volumes, well, the speculative bubble is now ending. But you would have noticed that although prices have receded, they still remain very high because the supply-demand imbalance that exists in the global cocoa market in terms of volumes, that still remains.
Maybe let's talk about that, because I think for many of us, this is where we need to understand the value chain and the supply chain environment in terms of cocoa, largely produced in the west of the African continent. But majority of these cocoa ingredients are exported then to markets like Europe, who are primarily used for chocolate production. Does that also play a factor in terms of the movement of these particular commodities? And on the back of that...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, just on the first part of the question, I was going to say that, yes, I mean, obviously, the way that the cocoa market is in terms of value chain is that it's actually very concentrated at the top. So you said it, like around 70% of production comes from West Africa, of which 60% from Ghana and Côte d'Ivoire. So very concentrated at the top. And it's also very concentrated at the middle, in the sense that you have, in terms of grinding, mainly the grinding is done in the Ivory Coast, but is largely dominated by Europe. And you have around four companies that hold 2/3 of the world's grinding capacities. And then even in the confectionery market, you have around 10 companies that share over 40% of the retail market in advanced economies. So that is why you have this very concentrated value chain. And since it's very concentrated at the top, as soon as you have supply disruptions, as you have production issues in Ghana and Côte d'Ivoire, that puts a considerable amount of stress on the entire value chain. And so that's why the cocoa sector as a whole is extremely, extremely vulnerable to supply disruptions. And this is exactly what happened last year.
Definitely.
At the same time, I was going to say that demand for chocolate, you were saying at the beginning that, you know, you liked your Christmas chocolate. Demand for chocolate is very high globally, driven by Asia and also by premium segments. So that is also why you have this perpetual imbalance between supply that is very concentrated and that is constrained, and demand that is still ever increasing.
Chocolate holics like myself will be complaining should we see a limitation in supply, I guess, Aroni. But this also, I guess, presents an interesting opportunity for traders, right? There might be those who are shorting the market, those who might see long-term ongoing challenges that could influence the market. But I'm quite keen to get your analysis of where we are regarding the performance of the cocoa price. And I know you don't have a crystal ball to tell the future, but what are the dynamics that we could anticipate in the short to medium term?
Well, in the like in the short to medium term, this market is going to remain in excess of demand, simply because if you look at supply in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire especially, there is a lack of supply due to constraints on cocoa production, because there has not been enough investments in the cocoa plants. You also have the fact that in these two main producers, cocoa prices are regulated, so that also certainly plays a role. And overall, this means that without considerable investments from Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire into their cocoa fields, this means that in the long term, the trend is that we're going to stay in this excess of demand. And which means that in case of production disruptions, we might see new speculative bubbles around the price of cocoa, because obviously in that case, when you have fears on production in a market where you have such an excess of demand, I mean, obviously it would trigger speculative movements. So that will entirely depend on what happens in terms of production, because although you have some new players that are coming in, such as Ecuador, Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire remain instrumental to the value chain. And so what happens there will also influence a lot what traders will be able to do in this market, because it's a very globalized and very speculative market by essence.
I can imagine what the futures contracts will look like for cocoa going forward. Significant elevated prices there. But maybe there's something else you can give us some context into, Aroni. Many of us haven't visited a cocoa farm or plant, so we don't necessarily know, the time of growing a cocoa plantation and the investment that's required. What does that look like? And how have markets like Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana remained competitive? And where are the likes of Ecuador making greater investments to meet the need and the demand, therefore, for supply?
Well, you have to take into account that, cocoa crops yields, they start to decline after around 10 years. So that means that you have to replace them quite frequently, right?
Sure.
And so in addition to whatever the financial cost is to replace these cocoa plants, you have to wait around 5 years to harvest the first crops. So this means that obviously this puts production in quite a tense flow, actually, because you have to wait 5 years for your first harvest, and then after 10 years, the yield starts to decline, so you have to replace. And so this cycle also means that, the investments that are made have to kind of benefit the farmers to some extent in order for them to keep reinvesting. And so that is also a question as to how price movements influence the cash flow of farmers and thus their capacity to reinvest into new crops. And that is also why for these producing countries, there is the need for some kind of a public policy, because also these sectors are very important in the respective economies of countries like Ivory Coast and Ghana.
Got you. So speculative pricing is what we can expect, largely based on excess demand, limited supply, given the lead times required. Does this essentially mean, Aroni, I'll still keep paying more for my chocolates?
Yes, unfortunately, that's what it means. Maybe not keep paying more and more like immediately, but the fact is that the easing of cocoa prices is a speculative bubble that is now deflating, which means that it has led to disinflation of chocolate products but not to deflation. So this means that chocolate prices are now stabilizing at a higher level, and also because some companies are still passing on the price increases to consumers. So since this market is structurally in excess demand due to the constraint that we had mentioned, it's very unlikely that prices are going to drop. So, as a consumer, your perception might change in the sense that you won't see prices that will spike as high as they did, for instance, last year and this year. But chocolate prices will remain elevated. And so, can we say that chocolate is going to become a luxury good? I don't know, but it's certainly going to become a more expensive good.
Got you on that one. Oh, okay. Aroni, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Truly appreciate your time and perspective shared on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Aroni Chaudhuri, Chief Africa Economist at Coface, helping provide great perspective on the price of cocoa. Cocoa, a fundamental ingredient that goes into the production of chocolate or chocolate-associated goods. But what we are seeing is that there's a slight decline in terms of the commodity price itself. But there are still some fundamental challenges, as Aroni has mentioned. There's a lot of lead time that is required in terms of the growing, cultivation, and understanding the yields that you derive from a cocoa plantation. Coupled with that, speculative pricing in the market right now regarding cocoa prices, because there's concerns around the limited supply. On top of that, there's excess demand. You and I love our chocolates, especially during the holiday season. So whilst we might not see prices decline, they will likely stay at these elevated levels, as he says. Despite that, I'd still appreciate a bar of chocolates.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.